In Louisiana, a peeping Tom is caught and cuffed after terrorizing several people in Baton Rouge. In Vermont, a man in a triple homicide rocks a small town community, and a warrant is issued in Texas for Louisiana rapper Lil Boosie. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, September 26th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton. It's Thirsty Thursday, right?
It is indeed Thirsty Thursday.
What's the weather going to do this week? Do you know? Have you checked it?
Well, they have a storm headed this way.
No.
I don't know if it,
hear about that.
If it turned or not.
I don't want to hear about that.
So if it didn't turn, it's hitting tomorrow morning right here in Louisiana. If it did turn, I don't know how you missed that. I
must have been drunk all week. Because I'm queer about watching this kind of things. I'm like stuck on it. So the starting today, the high is only going to be 86 degrees, which is nice for us, right?
Yeah.
The low is 64.
So ooh, that's really nice.
Right? And the low's going to be in the 60s all this week, mid-60s, and no more 90s in the forecast.
No more.
We'll see the
hurricane. Bye-bye, 90s.
Hurricane. We don't like them. I remember one that hit at the end of October because we were bow hunting. We're actually
cool. That's late.
Come in.
Wow.
That was probably like 20 years ago. And that was late. It's just one I remember, but usually it ends on September 30th.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, we're going to
sit down with some true crime time for Thursday.
That's right. And we're going to start out in Louisiana. And here's a wild story for you that's both shocking and a little creepy. A guy by the name of Ryan Williams is now in jail after he was caught doing some seriously weird stuff on camera. Now, it all went down on August 23rd when two LSU students were chilling in their living room, right? They get a notification from their home security system that something was moving around in their backyard. Curious, they take a peek outside, and lo and behold, they spotted a dude, Williams to be exact, hanging out in their gated yard with his business exposed.
Oh, Lord.
Talk about a shock. Fast forward to September 19th, in the East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office finally caught up with him after a little foot chase. Williams, 32, is now facing some serious charges, 2 counts of criminal trespass, 2 counts of being a peeping Tom, and 2 counts of obscenity. But wait, there's more. Investigators are also looking into whether Williams is connected to another peeping Tom incident that happened just days later on September 16th. Apparently, a woman reported seeing a suspicious character peering through her neighbor's window. And if that wasn't creepy enough, another woman across the street woke up to find a man standing in her bedroom.
There you go. It's progressing.
Giving her the ultimate fright. The guy reportedly drove off in a silver Honda Accord, which is similar to the car registered in Williams' name. Additionally, the authorities are digging into a possible attempted break-in on that happened that same night. Security footage showed a man in, guess what, a silver four-door Honda, checking out the windows and seemingly trying to find a way inside. It seems Williams is making quite a name for himself in the wrong way. So there you have it. A guy being a total creep is now behind bars, and the investigation continues to unfold. Yeah. But that's how they all start, right? Our serial killers all start that way.
Usually. And then now, because of the change in the laws on the DNA for certain offenses, that you get arrested for, they can automatically swab you and put your shit in a CODIS.
Yep.
See if you left your semen anywhere or because when you break it in, that's when the masturbation does, the peeping Tom part is all about masturbation fantasy. And when it doesn't work as well, they progress and they break it in, usually still in underwear and stuff like that, and then progresses. That doesn't do it, and they progress to rape, and then ultimately, a lot of murder and stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully this asshole will be locked. I mean, that's that's just such a violation. You know, you and when you're in your own bedroom getting undressed or whatever, and
some assholes looking at you through a window, but then to be inside.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty ballsy.
Now, hopefully someone will put some lead in his ass next time.
Right on.
So kind of keeping in Louisiana, but it's not, because it happened in Texas and Austin. This is a guy a lot of people know a little bit something about from here. A Louisiana rapper is wanted on theft of service charges, which were filed in Travis County last month. Y'all, that's Austin, Texas. According to an arrest warrant affidavit, Torrance Hatch, 41, who goes by Boosie Badass, Lil Boosie, or just Boosie. Check this out. And then, you know, he's such a badass. This is what his charges are. Nothing like P. Diddy or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, Boosie is facing a charge of theft of service greater than or equal to $2,500 or less than $30,000. The charge is related to a June incident in which Hatch, this Boosie, allegedly did not pay for chauffeur services that were provided to him over a few days. He's such a badass criminal. Listen to what he did. The charge was filed on August 29th. Now, there's no attorney for Hatch or Boosie listed on the online records. According to the affidavit, a limo and chauffeur service company based in Austin provided service to Boosie and several others from June the 5th to June the 7th. The company says it never received payment, despite being told in advance that Boosie would pay in cash for the services. The affidavit also said the chauffeur driver asked Hatch or Boosie and his manager about payment several times and later sent Boosie or Hatch an invoice for $8,800, which the driver reported was not paid. The company was contacted June the 5th requesting a Sprinter van for Boosie and others to be picked up from the Austin airport the same day. The affidavit said the chauffeur company did not receive an itinerary, but it drove Boosie and others to several places and to do various activities over the 3-day time span. Some of the services chauffeur driver provided included the following. This is part of the affidavit. They drove Boosie to Walmart to buy clothes. And took him and his child to an urgent care to get treatment for the trial. And then they drove him to a Burger King. And then they took Boosie and his family to a trampoline park. And then they took him to a business in the Round Rock Outlet Mall to do a promotional video. And they took him to the federal courthouse in downtown Austin so he could check in with his federal parole officer.
You got to do that.
So the affidavit said Boosie at one point complimented chauffeur services and posted a video to social media promoting the business. The driver thanked Boosie and said he'd give Hatch a good price, just like I told your manager, the affidavit said. After that, Boosie suggested the company take the cost off the promotion video, and the driver said they'd work something out. The chauffeur driver told police there was never a circumstance prior to the promotion video where they agreed that the promotion video would fully cover the cost of services, this court and affidavit, and that the chauffeur company has never had a similar arrangement with any client. Chauffeur company provided police with screenshots of message exchanges requesting the services and stating they'd be paid in cash, and this court and affidavit. The company also told police cash payments by the hour, like what Boosie was utilizing with the company, were common for celebrity clients. And Boosie is summoned up here in the court in Travis County on October 28th. Maybe line it up but another date with his parole officer.
Yeah. Do a promotional video for the judge.
A Walmart and a trampoline park.
Walmart. Get close.
Yeah, but I ain't going to pay you. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Lord.
Badass Boosie.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to Vermont.
Vermont.
And we're going to go to
always get that wrong. Is that the Granite State or the whatever? I always get.
I think it is.
Keystone State.
I don't know what state.
What's Vermont known for?
I think they're no other U.S. state treat.
The most populous city with fewer residents than Burlington. Vermont is also well known for being the largest producer of true maple syrup in the United States for over.
What's Vermont's state motto?
The answer I found is freedom and unity.
Oh, well, yeah. I thought I got it wrong again. That was the fucking Granite State or something. Sorry, lifers.
Well, we're gonna tell you about a not so funny story with a quiet Vermont town that's been rocked by a devastating tragedy that left three people dead at their home. This happened on Sunday, September 15th, and the lives of 46-year-old Brian Crossman, his 41-year-old wife, Erica, and their 13-year-old son, Colin Taft, were tragically cut short. They were all found shot in what can only be described as a horrific scene. Police arrived at the Crossman residence after receiving a 911 call from a person of interest who is reportedly a family member. And in a chilling twist, the person suspected of being involved in the murders was the same individual who called for help. When officers arrived, they found this person waiting for them at a nearby school. His clothes were drenched in blood. As of now, authorities have not disclosed the identity of the person or the motive behind the incident, but they have assured the public there is no ongoing threat. A neighbor, who is also related to Brian, shared the family farm where this tragedy unfolded and had been in Brian's family for generations. Just recently, Brian and Erica took over the farm from Brian's sister, making a fresh start together after their wedding in June. This neighbor expressed disbelief at the event, stating that Brian was simply trying to run a family farm and build a life with Erica and Colin. Now, Brian was known in the community as a dedicated lineman and newly elected member of the Pollitt Select Board, which oversees the town finances and ordinances. His absence was felt immediately when his seat at the board meeting was adorned with flowers, a somber reminder to that community of the loss of Brian. The Vermont State Police confirmed on Wednesday, September 18th, that the investigation is ongoing, but no arrest had been made. That's raising eyebrows, especially since a person of interest is already in the picture, and speculation is swirling around on whether the recent changes in the family's life might have played a role in the tragedy. Detectives are urging anyone who has information to reach out to them. But look, this is a town where this shit don't happen.
Didn't happen.
Three people.
Right.
The whole family.
That's crazy.
Killed. Nothing family. Stolen. No. You know, this wasn't a killing and a rape. There wasn't. Yeah. These people were just killed.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, small towns and something where shit like that has never happened before or in come close to happening, there's going to be something that's going to come out.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate
bizarre.
It. Yeah. So, and a little side note, I looked it up while you were talking. It's New Hampshire is the Granite State.
Okay. There you go.
The New Hampshireites.
And Maryland's a show me state.
No,
right.
It's Missouri's the show me state.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Louisiana is
Pelicans.
Sportsman's Paradise.
Sportsman's Paradise, yeah. Right. But it's a Pelican state, isn't it?
But Pelicans are a state bird.
Okay.
But that's what I'm thinking. A license plate that says Sportsman's Paradise.
It is a Sportsman's Paradise.
That is true.
No doubt about that.
We love our sportsman shit.
That's right.
Also, you know, I spent a little time in the Army myself. And this next story, this guy spent a little time in the Army, and he deserved it. But his name was John Tufton Blauvelt. I get the most fucked up names. Blauvelt.
But that sounds right. Blauvelt.
Blauvelt. But he had been a fugitive for 6 years before his 2022 arrest. And he was a former U.S. Army recruiter accused, wait for it, of killing his wife. Why? Wait for it. to be with his teenage girlfriend.
Mm.
But he's soon about to learn his fate. So closing arguments in the trial of former fugitive John Tufton Blavel of South Carolina, who's charged with murder and possession of a weapon during a violent crime, ended on Friday, September 20th. Blavel is accused of fatally stabbing his estranged wife, Catherine Katie Blavel, who was 22, in October 2016, before he ran off with his then 17-year-old girlfriend, Hannah Thompson, a Fountain Inn, wherever that's at. And that's according to the U.S. Marshal Service, y'all. And in July 2022, the U.S. Marshals arrested Blavel in Oregon after he had been on the run for 6 years. And Katie was last seen leaving the Greenville pet store where she worked at approximately 2:15 p.m. on October 23rd, 2016, that's according to the marshals. Her family reported her missing after she failed to meet her friends after work. Katie's body was found in the basement of an abandoned house in Simpsonville the following day on October 24th, 2016, riddled with stab wounds. Wow. The day before Katie's body was found, John fled the state with his then 17-year-old girlfriend, Hannah Thompson, and Blavel, who worked as a U.S. Army recruiter in Greenville County at the time of the killing, was classified as a deserter shortly after. And on November 18th, 2016, Simpsonville police obtained warrants for Blavel's arrest for murder and possession of a weapon during a violent crime. Thompson's parents reported the teen missing to the Fountain Inn Police Department on November 21st, 2016. And Thompson was found safe in Oregon on December 12th, 2016, having been abandoned by Blavel. I guess he had had enough of her in less than a month. She went to a family friend's home in Eugene, that's in Oregon, and called her parents saying she wanted to come home. She and Blavel had been homeless while she was in Oregon. Thompson was arrested and accused of helping Blavel the day that Katie was killed and lying to police about where he was. And Thompson was charged with two counts of misprison or concealment of a felony, two counts of obstruction.
Misrepresentation?
It's spelled MISPRISION.
Huh.
And then it says in parentheses, or concealment of a felony, two counts of obstruction of justice, one count of accessory after the fact. And I saw she was then 17. She helped kill Blavel's wife so she could run away with him and be homeless. She pleaded not guilty and is waiting trial. But as jurors weigh a verdict, Katie's family says they are relieved that Blavel has been brought to trial. We will never forget about her, Katie's mother, Patricia Piver, said. Even after all this is over, she'll never be forgotten. We'll always fight for her, and we'll always fight for what's right and to keep her memory alive.
Wow.
Shout out to that family. You know, people, I get contact about all these cold cases, like the one I'm doing in Atlanta, in like Courtney Coco's mom. Certain people don't give up even after all the years, and they just fight. But most of them want to believe that law enforcement is going to do their jobs correctly.
Sure. Yeah.
And unfortunately, for whatever reason, you know, they look at it for a second and it goes cold, and then the family will call in. In this case, y'all, the one we're starting on November 1, his family fought, just like Stephanie Belgrade did for Courtney for all those years. But they fought and they fought and they pressed and they pressed and they pressed and they never gave up. But a lot of them just give up. You know, they contact me and they're like, well, you know, it's been 20 years and we got tired of what the cops were telling us.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of problems with that. I think that the length of time you have to wait to get a file on a cold case is absolutely ridiculous. And if I was a legislator, I would change that, because 10 years is entirely too long. Yeah. If you ain't worked that case in, ain't working on
it. You can't. And you know what? Let's talk about that for a second, because even just this past week, I had a lady reach out and say, I want my husband's case file. It's a cold case now, right? And she said they won't give it to me. And she's not from Louisiana. She said, I've heard you talk about the 10-year rule in Louisiana. She said, do you know what it is in mine? And I didn't. I looked it up and I told her. And she said, I said, look, don't take no for an answer. Go in there and tell them you got an attorney. And if they ain't worked in 10 fucking years, then why not give it to you?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you what a lot of it is. And I hate to say it but I've seen it. A lot of it is they don't want to be shown up.
Well, right. I mean, it's their job to solve the case. And then someone else picks it up and runs with it, right. solves it. They look like an asshole.
That's exactly right. But you know, I believe that
it shouldn't be that way.
I agree. And I believe the cops have the best of intentions, but shit happens. And more bodies are always going to hit the ground. Like we talk about job security, and they're always going to have to keep working. And sometimes you get, your shit just gets lost in the shuffle, and don't give up.
Yeah.
Keep, that's right. It's not saying that they're all going to be solved, obviously, but it just don't give up. Keep pressing. Go over to that person, tells you no, you don't like the answer on the phone, ask to speak to their boss.
Yeah.
So you got to press the fight. Hey, y'all, changing my wardrobe from summer to fall. Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the 9th grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, we're going to go to Oklahoma.
Oklahoma Sooners.
It's the Sooners. Sooner State. And we're going to tell you about an Oklahoma man who went to his neighbor's home and claimed that his wife had just shot herself. But police said the crime scene paints a totally different picture. When police arrived at the Fry household on September 13th, they noticed Bradley Fry in a frenzy, performing CPR on his wife, Sarah. But something about the scene felt off. Sarah had been shot in the face, and a 12-gauge shotgun was chillingly placed behind Bradley. Oh, and did I mention that the kitchen table was completely shattered? Not exactly your average day at home. As paramedics rushed in, they realized Sarah was critically injured. Despite Bradley's desperate pleas for help, she succumbed to her injuries about 30 minutes later, leaving a trail of confusion and suspicion in her wake. The police, they quickly start to piece together the puzzle, right? It didn't take long for them to suspect foul play. To them, this was not a suicide situation. Bradley's stories, they were tangled. One minute he claimed to have walked in on Sarah as she took her own life. The next, he insisted the gun discharged during a heated argument. And when police hinted at a gun residue test, his stories began to unravel even further. It was like watching a bad movie, except all this was happening in real time. Adding to the drama, investigators suspected that alcohol might have played a role in the chaos that unfolded that night. The house was a mess. There was furniture flipped upside down, and in the dining room, it was totally in disarray. It seemed like a battlefield rather than a home. Court documents later revealed that Bradley had schizophrenia, which raised even more questions about his state of mind. But there's more to this story. Sarah had left behind a journal detailing her struggles, including accounts of Bradley's abuse and her desire to escape. Tragically, they had four children who had recently been taken away by their grandparents due to concerns for their safety. Sarah's father acted swiftly, removing the kids from what he deemed was a dangerous environment, and thankfully just in time. Despite no previous domestic violence calls to the home, neighbors reportedly heard frequent arguments between the couple, even on the day of the tragedy. And Bradley, he gets charged, and he gets charged with second-degree murder. But as the investigation deepened, those charges were upgraded to first-degree murder. This case, I think, serves as a harsh reminder of the horrendousness of domestic abuse and domestic violence. And it's a tragedy that Sarah didn't find that out and get away quickly enough. Many people stay too long, but she's unfortunately gone now, and he is being charged for first-degree murder for that murder after trying to stage a suicide.
I'm very, very glad he got charged. Friday, November 1, hashtag Justice For. Boy, I got a story coming, and I'm going to need all lifers to help, because I just can't give the details on it, but it's like this, and it's horrible, but this guy got charged, right?
Yeah, and fortunately, she left behind. She spoke from the grave, right? She left behind a journal that detailed all of these horrible things he was doing.
The, you know, they're going to look at the autopsy and all that. And like Roy and Kristen, the LouisianaFuneralServices.com, the LouisianaCrematory.com is the only place you can get an independent autopsy done in the state of Louisiana. And they tell you the importance of it, especially on cases like this. They can absolutely provide you with the correct answer. You know what I mean? And I can't give away the details yet, but just if you need autopsy services in the state of Louisiana, if you don't believe what's being said happened to your family member, you can certainly go to Louisiana Funeral Services, .com, or just call Roy and Kristen, and they will, you're right. And get the autopsy done, the independent autopsy. And look, they're professionals. Jim and I have been there. We've been there when they were doing autopsies. Of course, Roy and Kristen don't do it. They have forensic pathologists that do it, and a great staff and great people underneath that humongous American flag in Broussard, Louisiana. And then
that's right.
Motto is rest easy. But yeah, that's crazy. I did one here. I did it on the original Real Life Real Crime. Dude shot his girlfriend, but he tried to say that she shot herself.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck him. He's in prison. But like, let me tell you about another one. And this is in Brandon, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Right outside Jackson.
There you go. Carly Gregg was 14 when she fatally shot her mother and attempted to kill her stepfather in their family in their home in Brandon, Mississippi, right? So Carly Gregg, the teenager who fatally shot her mother in an attempt to kill her stepfather, has been sentenced to life in prison, finally. The sentence was handed down to the 15-year-old. She's 15.
Wow.
On Friday, September 20th, after jurors in Rankin County, Mississippi, found her guilty on all counts, including first-degree murder, attempted murder, and tampering with evidence. Gregg was visibly emotional when the verdict was read. Remember, imagine that. Gregg was 14 at the time of the March 19th shooting, in which prosecutors argued she killed her 40-year-old mother, Ashley Smiley, with the mother's gun inside the family's Brandon, Mississippi home. Now, later, the teenager laid in wait in an apparent ambush designed to shoot and kill her stepfather, 39-year-old Heath Smiley, when he arrived home, the prosecutor said. Gregg then fled, but was later arrested near the home. Now, while Gregg's defense team did not deny she killed her mom, the attorneys contended that the teenager was experiencing a mental health crisis on the day of the killing and didn't remember the shooting, right? So Dr. Andrew Clark, a child psychologist, testified on Tuesday, September 17th, that on the day of the shooting, Gregg was grumpy and irritable, and what teenager isn't, and couldn't focus in the class at Northwest Rankin High School, where her mother was a math teacher. And Clark also said the teenager claimed her memory went blank that day after letting her dog out in the backyard. Clark further testified that Gregg dealt with symptoms of depression and was previously prescribed medication that made her feel numb. Now, the Clarion Ledger, which is a Jackson newspaper, report this. And Clark also testified that Gregg heard voices which were getting worse prior to the shooting and that she had a history of self-harm. After returning home with her mom, prosecutors said Gregg went straight into her parents' bedroom to retrieve a .357 Magnum pistol from beneath her mom's mattress. That's crazy. And this is a big case nationally.
Oh, yeah.
Going courts on TV.
Watch.
So, hiding the gun behind her back, Gregg went to her own bedroom and confronted her mom, fatally shooting her three times. Now, the Mississippi State Prosecutor, Catherine White Newman, said, and according to Newman, a short while later, Gregg invited her friend over.
Yeah.
When Gregg answered the door, she asked the friend, "Are you squeamish around dead bodies?" Before leading the friend to the bedroom where Gregg's mother was dead on the floor from the three gunshots. court. Yeah. You know, it's court on court TV. Now, during the closing arguments earlier this week, the state's attorney, Michael Smith, told the jury she was aware of her actions at the time of the shooting. We would ask that you go back there and find her guilty of all three because she was not insane at the time this happened, Smith said. She knew exactly what she was doing, and she knew the difference between right and wrong, and yeah, certainly did.
Absolutely.
357 Magnum? And I hate to even shoot one of those.
I actually watched this trial. It was televised on court TV, and this girl, you know, defense, they're going to doll them up and make, you know, she looked like an innocent just like baby. I mean, I couldn't believe she was on trial for this.
Let's hold a 357.
Man. Yeah. You know, for me, what kind of disproves any memory loss slash type of thing is when she called her friend and said, come over. And then she asked her, have you seen a dead body? Have you ever seen a dead body? Yeah. When you do that, there you go. You know what you're doing at that point, in my opinion. So,
And then you laid in wait.
Yeah, that's right.
Your stepfather.
And big time news right now all over is the resolution to that. I think it was a 3 or 4 day trial and, you know, life in prison.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah. 15 now.
Yeah. So,
dude, life.
Crazy. Well, we'll lighten it up a little bit from that story, and we're going to go to West Virginia.
West Virginia.
By God, West Virginia, as people from West Virginia say.
Mountaineers.
That's right. And we're going to tell you about a woman in a train track.
All right.
So, let me tell you this. I want y'all to picture this. A cop just trying to do his job and help a woman gets a little show that he didn't even ask for. That's right. We're going to go to Kanawha County, West Virginia, in a woman named Jennifer Bass, who found herself in a bit of a pickle after detectives discovered her sleeping on some train tracks. So they pull up and they politely ask her to get up and leave the area. And she chooses to respond in the most unexpected of ways by exposing herself.
Nice.
That's right. You knew that was coming. So on Monday, September 16th, 49-year-old Jennifer, she's spotted in a black dress. She's totally passed out. She has no undergarments on, and she is taking a nap on the train tracks. The deputies approach her. Now, it's 2 p.m. Okay, she's not, this ain't middle of the night. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So they approach her at 2 o'clock, and they say, ma'am, will you please get up? But instead of just getting up and moving along, she decides it's a good time to roll around on the ground and flash the police. And I mean, she showed everything, vajayjay and all. And as you can imagine, that little stunt, well, it lands her in a little more hot water. She, you know, she's now facing charges for indecent exposure and trespassing. Currently sitting in jail, she's got a $5,000 bond, and all this chick had to do was get off the train tracks and move on. But there you have it. That's right. She gave him a little show.
The show.
The vajayjay show.
They had body cameras on.
Oh, I'm sure. Look, that was one of those one where you call. Didn't you say y'all used to call each other?
We had a secret code. If I said it, they were coming. If you could get there, you were coming.
Well,
I had to fight naked women and shit before, man. That's why I like Freeze Plus Flee. You have to touch the naked person
right
to affect the rest.
Just
right?
To do them,
I mean, and
there's only one way to do it.
I'd like to spray them first, so they'd be blinded, and then then I could get them when they couldn't see me coming.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, everybody, it's Aggo. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it. but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Oh, man. This is a crazy story, bro. Out of Italy and in Chiara Giaconis was vacationing with her boyfriend to celebrate her 30th birthday.
I get it.
And then an incident happened. And an investigation has been launched into the death, and this is her, Shakar's, of a woman who was killed when a statue was dropped on her head while she was vacationing in Italy.
A statue?
A statue. Listen, this is crazy.
Freak accident.
The parents of two children who are suspected of throwing a statue from their home's balcony are now under investigation, Italy's ANSA said on Thursday, September the 19th. And Chiara Giaconis was vacationing with her boyfriend, Livio Russo, in Naples in celebration of her 30th birthday on September 15th when the incident occurred. It's been reported everywhere, y'all, like the TMZ, New York Post, and all the U.S. media outlets. But according to ANSA, Giaconis and Russo, 29, were headed to the airport to take a flight back to home to Padua, Italy, when she was struck by the object. She was transported to whatever hospital, but later died as a consequence of traumatic brain injuries. Video obtained by TMZ showed the couple walking down the street with Russo and Giaconis wheeling their luggage moments before an object dropped down from above them. The seconds that followed, Russo fell to his knees beside Giaconis and began to scream her name and call for help. The clip reportedly came from security footage from a nearby local bed and breakfast. ANSA added that state attorneys are investigating the parents of the minors for manslaughter and non-vigilance charges. Hours after the incident, a candlelight vigil was held in the city's Spanish quarters where she was struck with a statue. This is according to Men's Journal. Everybody's talking about this. So the local politicians, including Naples Mayor Gaetano Manfredi, also shared a statement calling her death a great sorrow, a tragedy that deeply affects us all. And we hoped until the end that Chiara could return home to her usual life and family, said Lucia Zia, governor of Giaconis' native region. We still do not understand the dynamics, and I hope clarity is achieved, even though it will not bring her back. Now, Giaconis worked as a store manager at a Prada outlet and had previously managed more than a dozen stores in France. That's crazy. Look at the street, Jim. You think about old small town Italy and shit. The streets are very, very, very narrow, like old horse. Yep. I don't even believe you get a car down there. These buildings are like four stories high. Yeah, some kids just thought it'd be funny, drop a cement statue on this lady's head and killed her.
And, you know, I don't think I've ever...
Crazy.
I've never thrown anything off of a building. Like, even as a kid, I never threw an empty Coke can.
I spit off a balcony
before.
Spit on top of the Louisiana State Capitol and shit. Yeah.
Oh, did you? That was you?
Yeah, you say
that was last week.
That was yesterday. Yeah. They say you drop a penny off of that, and it'll fall that far down, it'll go straight through you like a
bullet. That's what I heard.
Yeah. I ain't trying to do that.
I ain't either.
But if it did.
But a freaking statue, you know, is going to kill someone.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
That's crazy.
A statue. The very word statue implies to me cement or something heavy.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. The Italians, man. You got to watch them.
Gotta watch them.
I
don't know.
All right, we're going to go to California.
California.
And y'all know that Woody and I always say about pedophiles that go to prison.
Yes, and get the inmate justice.
They're going to get that inmate justice. So an elderly inmate named Mark Squires, he was found dead in his cell at San Quentin this past week. The 70-year-old, who had been serving time for some heinous crimes, lewd acts against minors, was discovered unresponsive in his cell. This was around 3:30 p.m. when the prison staff got hit with an alarm. They rushed in, and they barely found him alive. He was alive, but just barely hanging on. By 4:04 p.m., he was officially declared dead. His 36-year-old cellmate, Gustavo Lopez, is now under the microscope as investigators look into exactly what went down in that cell. And here's the weird thing. While they're keeping the details under wraps, they're calling Mark's death an alleged homicide. Now, that leaves us with a lot of questions, like how did he end up in this situation? What injuries did he sustain? And the prison staff, they're not exactly being forthcoming with that, so we're kind of left to speculate. But Gustavo, who's been sharing space with Mark since early 2020, was already serving a hefty 13-year sentence for some serious crimes, kidnapping, causing injury, and false imprisonment, to be exact. And if it turns out that he's guilty of Mark's murder, he's going to be looking at life behind bars. Yeah. So as it stands, no other inmates or officers were hurt during the incident, which is great. But, you know, prisons keep a lot of things private, especially San Quentin.
Yep.
You know, we deal with that a lot on Bloody and Gully.
Yep.
We're limited to the information we can find a lot of times because a lot of that stuff stays under wraps. Well, when we figure out exactly what happened in this case, I'll bring you a little update on it. But he's certainly dead, and alleged homicide.
That's
I got a buddy, Lenny.
He and his wife Carrie, and Shane and Tracy and Cindy and I went to Maui together, and Lenny had just retired like 2 years previous. For a lifetime correctional officer, San Quentin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no shit, bro.
Wow.
Look, you would never know to look at him that he was a correctional officer for 30 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he's very physically fit and golfs and everything else, but funnier than hell. And he has some stories.
Yeah.
But he lives in California still, and he just messaged me the other day. But, yeah, they're not going to tell. I mean, the prison is always said it's a whole different world, and you know they're gonna take their time. And of course, this guy and his cellie—it's just him and his cellie in the cell.
Right.
He's got the brain injuries or whatever he's got, and he's barely hanging on in his cell. He's like, I didn't see shit. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I was asleep.
Yeah.
And then, of course, nobody saw anything. That is a little bit of inmate justice.
Yeah.
Who was it? Right. Which one was it? Dahmer. They beat to death with the mop bucket.
Yeah.
And he just waited for him. And he's a dude went in there and beat him to death with a mop bucket. And if this guy's facing 15 years or 20 years for other charges, he's now going to get street cred or prison cred for killing a chomo.
Yeah.
And they get respect for that.
Yeah.
So, I
don't know. But you know, he was only serving a 15-year sentence. He was 5 in.
Yeah, but he probably is like a 3-strike felon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what? Dude may have said something he didn't like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jim. Well, that's it. And then, Ian, you know, I hope everybody has a great weekend. And hope there's no storms.
Yeah, hopefully there's nothing coming our way tomorrow.
A little bit cooler here. Yeah, fucking Shane and them left on Monday morning. It's already in the 60s and up in Wisconsin. Their hunting season already started. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's coming. It'll be here before we know it.
It'll be here. We love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for joining us, liking and sharing and all that good podcast shit.
All right, and until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
We're your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.